everyone. Jim Madonna here, your host of Horror Rock Podcast. Again, I would like to thank you all so much for tuning in to another episode. You know, doing these podcasts, these interviews, are something that I truly, truly love, man, because what it does is it gives me the opportunity to speak with bands around the globe that I personally enjoy, have been fans of for years, and today is no exception, because I have on the line drummer Mr. Darren Short of Rock Hollywood. Darren, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, Jim. Good to talk to you.
Oh, it's good to talk to you, my friend. Darren, I want to thank you so much for taking your time, brother, and speaking with me and giving the fans a opportunity to get your music exposed and to get a little history about yourself and the band that you're in.
Cool. Always welcome the opportunity to let everybody know about us. It's a big world out there, and we're trying to get our piece of the pie one piece at a time, so every little bit helps, so I appreciate you having me on there and representing the band.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure, man. How about we kind of start from the beginning? You know, when did you realize, Darren, that being a drummer is what you wanted to do as a career?
Around the age of 10 or 11, between a couple of different things. I think I had seen my friend practicing drums at his house, a friend I went to school with. His name's Scott Baker. I'm still friends with him. Still talk to him every once in a while. And then we saw Kiss on TV. That was it. And I knew what I wanted to do at that time. And I knew I wanted to, you know, become a rock star someday. And I chose drums. I guess a lot because of my friend. Seeing him play, I was just interested and fascinated with it. And I honestly, if I had to do it over again, I would be a guitar player. I mean, I play guitar too. I help write some of the songs, but I still would like to be a guitar player on stage. But going with what I'm best at, that's how it all started.
Well, you're definitely by far a great drummer. I've had the opportunity. Some of my friends are drummers, man, and you top it out. You're to listen to you play. From the videos that I have saw, it's really amazing. I have never had the opportunity to see Rock Hollywood and yourself play live, but I hope one day that will change.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll get down to your area. I'm actually working on something right now. I've been waiting to hear the final word. That we're working on a show down in Panama City Beach, Florida, at the end of the year. And if we get to go ahead on that, then I'm going to work on booking some shows, on the way down or on the way back. And who knows, maybe Georgia will be one of the places we hit.
Oh, that would be awesome. I would, I'd be there in a heartbeat. You know, Darren, you have an album out. It's a self-titled album, simply called Rock Hollywood. And you have a few songs on there that we're going to go ahead and let the listeners hear. But I'd like to start with one of them in particular called Deep Inside. Can you give us a little history on what that song is about?
It's basically about someone that, I don't know if it's really about anybody in particular. I was writing that a long time ago, many years ago. It took me a while before I finished it, but I was with somebody at the time when I was writing it, and I think I maybe actually was kind of writing about her at that time. Funny because I would work on that song at work on as far as the lyrics. I would write a lot of songs when I was working my day job at the time, and felt like I was still getting paid to write to make music just in a different way. But and it's funny because I had her write some of the words out, transfer them like after I'd written them out in my sloppy writing. I asked her to write these lyrics out, and she didn't realize she was writing lyrics out that were actually something based a little bit on her. So it's just about how I feel about somebody.
Okay.
Whether it was somebody that was somebody in the past, but it still applies today. How I feel about somebody in my life, and I write a lot about personal experience, just like a lot of people do. I don't really write anything that doesn't really apply to my life, because I can make stuff up, but I like to write about real life stories, involving me or other people. And so I write a lot of stuff that, you know, about things that I've been through, and I still do. And that's just, you know, it always comes from the heart.
Well, that's the beauty part about, you know, music is that, you know, there are a lot of musicians out there that do just that. You know, they write about life experiences, about, you know, what's happening. And, you know, then again, there's the handful of artists out there that just put anything on a disc and hope to sell it, you know? You know, there really is a big difference. But, you know, since we've talked a little bit about Deep Inside, let's go ahead and let the listeners hear it. So, here it goes, man. Deep Inside with Darren Short, Rock Hollywood. Turn it up on Power Rock Podcast. And we are back with Darren. Darren, that is just a smoking tune, man. I enjoy that, man. I have had the opportunity to listen to all your music on this album, and you know, there's not a song on here that I do not like. Great job, my friend. Truly, I mean that.
Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. You know, Darren, I got to surprise you with something. It's kind of funny. And what I had, just let me tell you this story, brother. I was sitting here at my home, and my wife told me that she was having one of her girlfriends come over, which I had never met before in my life. So I says, well, okay. So she comes over to the house. She sits down, and she introduces herself, and she asked me how the interviews were going. And I apparently, you know, through my wife, you know, she knew what I was doing. So I had told her, you know, oh, they're doing well, and, you know, and I've done, you know, quite a few of them. And I told her that I had one to do very soon. And I says, I'm, a matter of fact, you probably have never heard of them. I says, but the band is called Rock Hollywood with the drummer Darren Short. And she jumped up off my couch. And literally, Darren, I am not kidding when I say this, she literally ran from one end of my house to the other, freaking out, saying, no way, I love those guys. I says, you know what? I says, if you love them that much, while you're so ecstatic, I want to record what you're saying. And this is what she said.
Awesome band, awesome music. I'm a huge fan of yours, and I wish you the best in all your future endeavors. Rock on, Rock Hollywood!
What do you think of that, man?
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Her name. Her name.
Never know what's going on and how people react to your band or things that you've done, and everybody's different. That's really cool, though.
Right. Well, her name is Ashley Johnson. Okay, and she truly is a fan. And what's really cool is that, you know, you guys are up there in a big city, played with superstars, if you will, and so on and so forth. And we're down here in the mountains of North Georgia, but yet people know who Rock Hollywood is and who Darren Short is. I think that is just really cool.
Yeah, it definitely is.
You know,
the internet made it a lot smaller world.
You know what? Speaking of the internet, I got another question for you, and it's this. What do you think, in your opinion, do you feel that the internet, digital downloads, etc., do you feel that those types of things have hurt the music industry today, or do you think it has helped the music industry today?
I really think it's done both. I mean, it definitely helps to get your name out there and your songs, but at the same time, it's easy to get stuff free, and you know, people don't buy things as much as they used to in the good days, I guess. When people were excited for a new record to come out and find out what the release date of it, and you just can't wait till that day so you can get to the record store and buy that, you know, your favorite band's record, and just not like that anymore. People don't buy CDs or anything like they used to. You know, now it's all, you know, a lot of it's online, and they don't even buy, you know, whole album anymore. You know, they buy, you know, they pick and choose songs, kind of like an a la carte thing, I guess. And I don't know, sometimes I wish things were that way. And other things like cable TV, you know, I don't need 1,000 channels. I just need about,
you know, Darren, let me ask you this. Do you think that, do you think rock and roll, the sales of records were better when everything was on vinyl?
Yeah, I think so. Vinyl and CD. I definitely think it was. Read interviews and listen to interviews and how they view that whole thing. And, you know, back then, you know, you're good if your album was going gold or platinum or even more. And now I think, I don't know, I don't really pay attention a whole lot. It's rare for somebody even to go gold, I think, these days. But yeah, it's definitely, in my mind, it's better back then than it is now. Just because people can just download one or two songs at a time, and they don't have to go buy the whole album. I mean, you still buy CDs and all that, but I just don't think people buy them as much these days. And especially when you can just go download a couple songs and you don't have to buy the other songs if you don't want them, or if they don't really give this all the songs a chance. I'm sure they hear the songs that they know of, that they've heard of, and they want to buy those. And songs that, you know, were on an album a long time ago that, you know, I had my certain few songs I would listen to, and then, you know, I would just burn those songs out, and then, you know, years later I would go back and it's like, I never listened to that one song, and it's like, it turned out to be a really cool song. But, you know, since it's not like the hit or, you know, the single on the record, people don't always give it a chance. And a lot of times my favorite songs end up being the ones that aren't the popular songs on there. So I'm kind of more of I like the more obscure songs on records a lot of times. Sometimes I like the popular ones too, but a lot of times, you know, I just get burned out on those, and I want to listen to the other stuff. And there's always really cool stuff on the rest of the record if people just give it a chance.
Absolutely. I agree. You know, on your self-titled CD, Rock Hollywood, you have one particular song on there called My Kind of Woman. You know, you've got a really great video of that on YouTube. You know, that's probably... Would you say that that's probably one of your most popular songs?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, when we play it, it's not a hit or anything, but it's definitely a song that a lot of people recognize and a lot of people ask for. You know, we usually play it anyway, but promote our shows, and it's like, you know, I'll be there as long as you play My Kind of Woman. And yeah, it's definitely one of our more popular songs.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, now that we're talking about it, let's play it. My Kind of Woman with Darren Short, Rock Hollywood, and Power Rock Podcast. Turn it up.
Woman, whisper in my ear, tell me all the
We're back with Darren. Yeah, man, I've seen that video multiple times, and that's actually the song that hooked me on Rock Hollywood. You know, that was the very first time, you know, I heard of the guys when I saw that video, and it's a great song, a great video. It's
looks like a friend of ours helped put that together, that video. A lot of our videos are just, you know, live stuff, you know,
right,
stuff we shot at shows. And that video right there is a compilation of a couple of live shows we did in 2008 and 2009. I think it starts off at the Whiskey. It, you know, goes back and forth between our show at the Whiskey in Hollywood. In 2008, and then we played a show. We played a few shows at a venue in Cincinnati that's not there anymore. It was called River Star, and we played their grand opening, actually, which was us from another band or two and Warrant. And then we went back like a month later and played with Skid Row. And I think that video might be from the Skid Row show. But, you know, it goes back and forth. You can see the different scenes, and you can, if you watch it hard enough, you can distinguish, you know, which one's a Whiskey and which one's a River Star. So a friend of ours named Eric Duane, he's on Facebook. He's a really good songwriter himself. Go way back with him. He put that together, so he did a really good job on doing that.
Very cool.
I want to thank him again for doing that, because it's helped us a lot.
Who are your inspirations? Who has inspired you the most in as far as being a drummer? You know, who would you say is like the...
Well, starting off, you know, I always start off with God, because, you know, if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't be here. And you know, I always have to thank God for everything that he does for me and everything in my life. But then next would be my parents, because my parents got us started in music, basically to keep us out of trouble, which, you know, mission accomplished. It kept us busy in school, and you know, got us our start in our career, and they didn't expect us to keep going with it. They thought it'd just be something to, you know, keep us busy during school. And we were playing sports before that a lot, and we went away from sports in high school, and just started going into music, you know, full speed. And so but anyway, past that, my first influence was Neil Peart. But then I kind of got into different styles of drummers. That it's more, you know, what I'm like today. I'm a flashy, just a straight ahead flashy drummer. You know, I'm not into a lot of the technical stuff like Neil Peart. I still like him, but I got into Tommy Lee and Robert Sweet, and then there's drummers. He's not with Enough's Enough anymore, but the original drummer, Enough's Enough, Vic Fox. I really like his style. Those are some of my, I guess, influences. There's a drummer that plays with Slaughter now, not the original drummer, but his name is Zoltan Chaney. I had a drum meeting him back in April at the M3 Festival. Really cool guy, just an amazing drummer. Not just how flashy he is. I mean, he makes Tommy Lee looked like Charlie Watts. I mean, he's just a really flashy, amazing, energetic drummer. And but, you know, it's not all about the flash. You know, he's a really good drummer too. I mean, he's, you know, technically he's really, really good. So, yeah, I mean, it's cool to be flashy as long as you're not, you know, losing the beat or anything. But I try to, you know, do the same thing. I mean, when I play, I'm always trying to entertain the crowd. That's what we're up there for. I mean, if you're not going to entertain the crowd, you might as well stay at home and stay in the studio, because, you know, you're up there, and then they want to be entertained. You know, they don't want to just sit there, watch it like they're, you know, on the couch at home. You know, they came out, you know, from a long week of work, and they want to get away and let loose a little bit and have some fun. And if you're not up there entertaining, then you're not doing your job. And I just come from, like I said, from the KISS school of rock and roll, and, you know, big stage shows, just everything's flashy and glam, and that's, I'm still like that today. That's just what I love to do. I'm not stuck in the 80s or anything. I'm stuck with what I love to do, and that's the music that I love, and I play the way that I feel, and my biggest, I guess, way to describe myself is passionate, and whether it's with music or with women, or, you know, I'm a photographer, I'm very passionate about that, and so it all comes out, you know, when you see what I do when I play, you know, my passion comes out, and sometimes my anger, aggression, and frustration, too, just, you know, depending on what happened that week, but yeah, it's, that's just, I play by feel, and play from my heart, and with passion.
Right, right. Well, you know, you kind of mentioned, you know, when you play with, you know, you've played with anger and frustration, and, you know, what better instrument to play that with than the drums? I got I got irritated yesterday, or the day before yesterday, and I actually made a Facebook post about it and said, you know, if anything could go wrong, would go wrong, I'm going to go outside and beat a tree with a baseball bat, you know? So, you know, taking a swing at something it sometimes really becomes helpful. I don't necessarily mean another individual, but, you know, taking it out, you know, on your drum kit, or taking it out on a tree, we're still taking it out and we're getting it out. And I think that's the most, you know, important thing, without holding into that anger and that aggression, you know what I mean?
But it's got to be controlled, though, especially playing on stage. Is, you know, it's got to be controlled anger.
Right.
You can't just go out there and whack out over something, and, you know, you still got to play the songs, and I do. I just play them. I mean, I'm always a hard hitter, and we just played a show with a band called Cheap Thrill, Eric Brittingham from Cinderella, and John Crabby was filling in on that show, and Chaney Brandon is the drummer, and this is the second show we play with them, but this time I was playing his drums, and he said, a little bird told me that you play with the back ends of your sticks and you hit pretty hard, and, like, I don't know who that was, but, you know, yeah, I admit to that, I hit hard, and I use the back end of my sticks. I don't play the normal way, you know, you hold sticks. I don't know, like, when I even started doing that, just a long time ago, and I think it's just because, you know, the front end of the sticks are so so thin, I just felt like I wasn't getting the same power out of them, and I'm just a power drummer, and so I just turned them around and started bashing, and I just, you know, felt good, and so, yeah, he was a little bit worried, and I said, I take it easy, and when I play somebody else's drums, you know, I don't go full out like I do on my drums. You know, it's not easy, you know, I definitely want to play harder, but I took it easy on his drums, and I was worried about it. Like, you know, I was consciously just had to make sure I wasn't playing real hard, and I didn't want to beat his drums up. But I talked to him after the show, and I said, oh, hopefully I didn't beat your drums up too bad. And he goes, no, you're cool, man. It was just, you know, you did real good. So that's cool.
Well, those sticks are, I would have to say, you know, I could play a pretty mean air drum. You know, I don't, you know, I've held drumsticks, you know, I have drumsticks, et cetera, but, you know, I have to say that the drumsticks are the extension of your hands, and considering that your arms are, you know, relatively large, using the back end of your sticks kind of makes sense when you're being or consider yourself to be a powerhouse drummer. Yeah. You know, that certainly works for me. I get that part.
He paid for it. I got down playing and he got pissed at me. He says, man, you know, beat up my drums and you beat up my snare. And I'm like, well, I offered mine and you said it was cool and to use yours. So that's fine. And he got pissed and he wanted me to pay for it. And like, I don't know. When you offer your drums for open stage, it was, you know, there's usually a host band and they provide the equipment. I'm not gonna hold back. I mean, I did a little bit, but, you know, I'm gonna play my style. And,
sure.
He just got pissed, and I can't say some of the things I was saying, but I don't know. I mean, I didn't do it on purpose, but
you just were being you.
Yeah, I can't be a little wuss about it, you know. Like,
right. Right.
If you're going to offer your drums for people to use on open stage, you never know who's going to get up there.
Right.
He's lucky I'm not Tommy Lee, because I don't think Tommy Lee would care as much. He would just go up there and beat the crap out of him and leave and not care. But, you know, I don't try to cause trouble or beat up anybody's equipment, but I play my style, and there's not a lot of drummers out there hit hard.
Right.
So,
I get you, man. You know, where do you see yourself in the next, you know, 5 years? Where do you see yourself as an artist?
Well, I hope to see us on a bigger stage in the first place. That's always been our goal since I started this band. It's been my goal for all my life, but definitely when I started this band, put together something where, you know, we do our own stuff and we do some covers too, kind of the way it has to be in some cases. But I wanted to focus on targeting national shows, and then, you know, we do other shows, you know, smaller shows and other things here and there in between, because, you know, there's not a lot of national shows that come around here, but that's the ones, you know, the ones I want to target and, you know, go after and, you know, play those shows as much as we can, as, you know, get as many as we can. People sometimes get tired of seeing us play with, you know, whenever a national show comes in. A lot of times we're the band that plays with them, and especially in the 80s genre, and that's just what we do, and we go after it, and we want every show we could possibly get, and, you know, whether people get tired of it or not. So that's really what eventually happened. It took a little while to get there, but eventually, really in like 2006, was when we started doing that stuff, and we started playing with the national acts. We played a show with Poison and Cinderella, and our first show at this big venue here, I think it was called Verizon Wireless Music Center at the time. Now it's called Puss Music Center. It's our big amphitheater, and our first show with there was Lynyrd Skynyrd and Three Doors Down and Shooter Jennings. And then a week later, we came back and played with Poison and Cinderella. And then even before that, we were doing other shows with the Bullet Boys, and we started doing a lot of bigger shows, L.A. Guns, Blackstone Cherry. It just started steamrolling, and then, you know, we built our resume up off of a lot of those bands. And this year, we played our third show with Faster Pussycat, our third show with L.A. Guns, our second show with Motley Crue, our second show with Alice Cooper. Played with Autograph. You know, those guys are great guys. You know, it's really cool. I mean, it's different these days with, you know, the bands have been around for a long time. It's just a different thing than it used to be, but it's still cool. And, I mean, I remember driving around Indy listening to the first Autograph record, and Off the Deep End was like one of my favorite songs off of that one. And now I'm playing a show with these guys, and so it's really cool. And like I said, we played our big amphitheater here. We just played our 11th show out there with the Motley Crue show. And I know we'll be back next year. If something else doesn't come up this year, we'll be back at that venue next year. I keep telling them, like, our goal is to get on that big stage, the main stage. We play the side stage. And we want that main stage. You know, we want, you know, the big crowd and, you know, the big stage and the big sound and lights. And, you know, we want a chance to do what we do on a bigger stage, see what happens. I'm confident that, you know, you never know how your first show, a big show, is going to go, but I know I just go out there with this total confidence and just kick ass and see what happens. But I just know if we got in front of some people, shows, certain venues, I just know people would like us. You know, we just need the opportunity to do it, and that's all we ever ask for, is just a chance. We'll go out there and do our job. We just need the chance to have to do that. And so, yeah, we not even 5 years from now, you know, this year, next year, we want to play the big stages. We want to play the big festivals. And,
right.
You know, I kind of figure these bands, I mean, people could say it's not a competition, but it really is. You know, we're competing for everybody's attention. And I figure we're on the same playing field as the bigger bands, the national bands that are kind of on their second wind of their career, you know, like Autograph and L.A. Guns and Rat and Doc and all these bands that we played with. You know, we're, especially with Facebook and social media, you're on the same playing field with them. You know, they have more fans, but, you know, you can get your name out there just like them. And I'm good at, you know, without having a degree, I'm good at marketing the band and coming up with ways to get our name out there. But, yeah, we just want to be playing on the bigger stages and playing these bigger festivals and maybe get on a tour or something.
Right. You know, Darren, one of my goals when I had started a Power Rock podcast was to bring out indie bands, because, you know, this is just my personal feeling, is that, you know, the bands that you had mentioned, you know, The Crew, Cinderella, Cheap Trick, Great White, the legends, I mean, you know, hands down, pioneers of rock and roll, something we've all grown up with, have listened to multiple times. But I really think that there comes a time where we have to give and get out the indie bands and get them on the main stage, because there are so many bands, including Rock Hollywood, that have a gift of rock and roll that needs to be heard. However, the music industry, the business side of it, that the people don't see, have this market cornered, and they're going to push it until the cows come home. And I think, again, this is only my opinion, but I think it's very unfair that guys like yourself and other amazing indie artists just don't get the exposure because of a business that's holding on to bands that are 30 years old. I mean, I personally don't get it, but maybe it's not my job to get it. You know where I'm kind of going with this?
I feel that way, because
it's like, you know, move just, over.
It's different these days. It's, you know, for me personally, you know, I grew up with a lot of those bands, and Motley Crue and Rat and, you know, just all those 80s bands. And, I grew up and I looked up to them, and just, when that technically third Rat album came out, Invasion of Your Privacy, I couldn't wait for that thing to come out. I couldn't wait to go get it. And I was always excited about that stuff. And now these bands, you know, some of them put out new records. Rat did a couple years ago. Motley Crue did a couple years ago. Poison, they haven't put out a new record in a long time, and because Brett's too, you know, busy doing his solo stuff. And I prefer to hear new Poison record, you know, the thing that made those guys. But right, I'm sure that's not going to happen anytime soon, if ever. And, you know, Winger's got a new one out. It's not brand new, but it's been out for a little while, but really cool. And so a lot of those bands that are putting out records, I mean, some of them are good and some of them are better, but, you know, they're not what they used to be. They're not, like In the Heart of the Young with Winger. It's not that stuff, but I will say Winger, their new record is really good. I mean, after playing with all these guys and meeting them and sometimes getting to hang out with them for a little while, you know, you get to learn about them, and, you know, they're later in their career, and, you know, maybe they're not exactly how they were back then. Maybe some of them still are. Maybe some of them still act the same way that they did back then. You know, there's definitely a difference in each band, and like I said, the guys in Autograph are really cool. They're really down-to-earth, personable, approachable, and, you know, they're on Facebook commenting and liking our stuff, and that's really cool because not every band does that. LA Guns guys, they're not doing that stuff. I mean, I'm not holding anything against anybody, but it's, you know, when guys really take the time to, I mean, they don't just do that for us either. They do that for their fans. You know, they're on their fan pages, you know, commenting and interacting with them, and that's just a really cool, down-to-earth thing to do. But, you know, there's, when you meet people and everybody's different, I lose respect for some of these guys that we played with, just because I see the other side of them, you know, off stage, and, you know, I don't like some of the things that I see or how they treat people.
Sure.
But some of the guys, like Autograph and Eric Brittingham, Jeff Labar, they're cool guys. We've known them for a while and played a bunch of shows with either Cinderella or some of their other bands that Jeff and Eric have played with, Cheap Thrill, Naked Beggars. They're really cool guys, and, you know, Eric's one of the nicest guys I know. And I pay attention to that stuff, and, you know, it means a lot when the guys are cool and down to earth and not doing the whole rock star thing.
Right. You know, here's another question for you, Darren. What is your feeling as far as bands that do meet and greets that charge their fans not only to get in to see a show, but to charge their fans to get a picture taken with them or to get them to sign an autograph? I mean, what is your outtake on that? I'd be glad to give you mine first if you'd like, but
I have a feeling we have the same opinion on that one.
Okay, so we pretty much just...
I don't know, but I'll say that I'm totally against that idea. I just don't like it. I hope nobody ever puts us in a position where they're trying to make us do something like that, because I just don't like the idea of putting somebody on a pedestal like that. And it's like, in a way, you want that separation that makes the guys on stage a little different than the people in the audience.
Right.
But, you know, just while you're on stage, once you're off stage, you're just another person. You're just another musician that just happens to be successful. And we're all the same. You know, when it comes down to it, we're all just people trying to live our life and be happy and be successful. But I just don't agree with the whole charging another human being to meet you like you're something special. Like, yeah, you have talent. You know, you have some kind of aura about you, or you know, that personality that, you know, puts you where you're at. But at the same time, you're just another human being, and I don't think it's right. I mean, they do it, and they'll keep doing it because people will keep paying for it. As long as people keep paying for, you know, VIP and meet and greet and paying the big prices at the shows, they'll keep charging it, and they'll keep even increasing the rate. But I just don't like it. I don't like it at all. And, you know, sometimes I even say that. Say, yeah, you don't have to pay to meet us. Just come up and, you know, you don't have to buy anything. I don't like what you have to buy. Yeah, you can meet the band if you buy a CD or a shirt or something. That happened to us. I don't even want to say what band it was, but I was going to the show and paid for the ticket to get in. And then they said, well, you can't meet this guy if you don't buy something, if you didn't purchase merchandise. It's like, I purchased a ticket. I spent my time to come here to see this show over everything else I could have done, you know. Don't shut me out because I didn't freaking buy a CD or something. Maybe I already owned the CD. You know, maybe I bought a bunch of stuff. I just didn't happen to buy anything today. Don't make me pay to meet this person. That's just ridiculous to me. That's greed. That's just greed.
I've always been right. I've always been a person that, you know, I refuse to pay. I refuse to pay that kind of money or any type of money to shake another human being's hand. You put your pants on the same way I do. And so we clearly have the same views on that. You know, I think it's a... I almost think it's a way, and I'm really going on a limb here, but I really think it's just a desperate attempt to hold on to what once was. And
they found a way to make money off of the fans, right, that they say that they...
Exactly.
You know, they do this for. We're doing it for the fans. Like, well, if you're doing it for the fans, don't freaking charge them to meet you.
I think a lot of...
the fans, you want to genuinely meet the fans. Like, now, I understand in some ways, you know, why it's done. Because if you don't, then everybody's going to want to meet them, and you can't have it that way either.
But, you know, I think a lot...
It's not that they're charging. It's how much they charge. It's just... You know, one of the shows we just played, it's just ridiculous how much they were charging for a VIP or meet and greet. And it's just, I don't know, that's as far as I can go with that.
I totally understand. But, you know, I also, you know, I have noticed throughout, you know, listening to bands, watching what's going on, doing blogs, interviews, so on and so forth, you know, I think that there's a lot of bands that are in the mainstream caliber, if you will. I think a lot of them have forgotten that very simply, without the fans, they are nothing.
Yeah.
And yet they take advantage of the fans. Like we said, neither one of us agree with that. But, you know, we don't need to beat that horse anymore. We got another song we're going to play, and then we're going to close this interview out, brother. Again, this is off the Rock Hollywood self-titled album. It's called Your Love's Like a Weapon. How about a little bit of history on that?
History on that song?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Once again, I was writing the lyrics on that one at work when I was working a day job at a certain place, and pretty much wrote that about a situation I went through with some girl. I pretty much came to the conclusion she used me to get back with her ex-boyfriend, because I went out with her, and she, yeah, it was cool, but then, it's been a while, but I don't remember exactly what happened. I just know that she ended up back with her ex-boyfriend, and I figured that she was using me to get back with him. So, I wrote the song, Your Love's Like a Weapon, because I figured she used my love like a weapon to get, you know, even with her boyfriend, or, you know, make him jealous enough to want to come back or whatever. And
all right,
she doesn't even know that's about her either. Not someone I talk to anymore, but,
right.
But, you know, that could relate to any situation.
Right.
You know, I've been used before by women and been lied to, been cheated on and everything else. And some people take advantage of you and they use their love and they use their looks or, you know, whatever, their factory, you know, or non-factory parts, to get what they want.
Sure.
And just, I don't like it. I'm a real, honest, straightforward kind of person, and you know, I don't like people use people or when they they do things like that to get what they want. And
manipulation is a very dangerous tool.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it truly is.
Yep.
But what we're going to do is we are going to let the listeners hear Your Love Is Like a Weapon with Darren Short, Rock Hollywood.
Time again.
and we are back with Darren. Darren, I truly want to thank you, man, for taking your time and speaking with me and speaking to the listeners. I wish you guys the utmost success in what you do. It's been an honor and a privilege. And I also want to let the listeners know that all your links, you have multiple links to YouTube, Reverb, your fan pages on Facebook, LinkedIn, so on and so forth. On this podcast, I will have all the links available. I will have the links to where you can go purchase the CD if you choose. And I suggest that anybody who's listening to this podcast to go buy the entire CD, not blow 20 or 99 cents. It doesn't pay the bills. We just keep moving forward, brother. And I just really want to thank you, man.
Yeah, because you know, if somebody buys one song for 99 cents, I can't even go to the dollar store. So
exactly,
yeah. You know, do the math. Yeah, buy all the songs, and you know,
it's
at
not
least let me go to the dollar store, or maybe you know someday I'll get to graduate and go up to Walmart.
Right, and you know, have you ever seen that picture that floats around on Facebook that, you know, and it's so true. It's that, you know, people will stand in line for an hour to buy a $5 cup of coffee at Starbucks, but yet won't buy an album to listen to their favorite artist that just makes them so happy. It blows my mind, the mentality of people today. I think that people that do this Starbucks thing are people that are either wannabe rock stars, followers of rock stars, or have way too much money to spend.
Yeah.
That is just my
point. Wouldn't it be cool? And there's a newscast they do, or it's like, you know, before midnight, and these people are camped out outside of a store to get the newest video game or the newest freaking Harry Potter crap, and they're doing all kinds of stupid things and camping out for a day or two just to be able to get it. And like, wouldn't that be cool if that happened for a band like us?
That would be.
You don't have to go that far. You just buy the freaking CD or you know buy the T-shirt.
That's it. You know, just spread the love, man. I mean, you guys work hard. All bands work hard. And, you know, it's really a shame the way that things have turned around, the business, the political aspect of it. It's really a shame. But, you know, Rock Hollywood has got what it takes. Darren Short has what it takes to be on that main stage, to perform live in front of 80,000 people and just knock them all down, man, and leave them with their mouth dropped. I know it. I've listened to the music. I have seen the videos. I hope others get this opportunity. Darren, again, I want to thank you so much, brother. It was a pleasure talking to you, and there you have it.
I do want to say one thing that you know, I feel strong about. I've said it on my pages before, and just, you know, maybe it's just a personal thing with me. Maybe it's, you know, it hits a lot of people at home, too, a lot of bands and musicians. But like I was talking about, you know, we play with a lot of these bigger bands that, you know, they're on the second wind of their career, you know, trying to make that last effort to make some retirement money once they're done with their career. But, you know, I still like those bands, still like to listen to them, still like to see them live. But, you know, we're a band from Indianapolis, and we might not have the hit songs that they have. We might not have the history that they have, you know, the record contracts and the videos on Headbangers Ball and all that. But you know, I still want to feel like we're relevant. You know, we just played with LA Guns and Cheap Thrill not long ago, and sometimes it's hard not to take things personal. People, you know, and, you know, we know that they're mainly there to see the headline act, but you know, we want to be relevant too. And you know, some people don't even want an opening band for some of these shows. They just want to see the main band, and to me, that's a shot at the bands that are opening up, whether it's a local band or a band that's on tour with them. You know, we work just as hard as they do, if not harder, because we don't have people always helping us. You know, we don't have PR people. We don't have managers, anything like that. You know, we're important, too. You know, we're trying. You know, those bands that are up there were bands bands like us at one time. And Motley Crue was a band just like us one time, just trying to get their break, and they finally did. And we're trying to do the same thing. And one of a saying, a quote that I came up with several years ago that did really well when I posted it, a lot of people shared it, is if it weren't for local bands, there would be no national bands, because all those national bands were local bands at one time, and they just got their break, and there's plenty of bands out there that are just as good. They just need the exposure. They just need a break, and we're one of them, and we hope that when these shows come around, that people will get there early and see the opening acts. You know, I know it's easy just to brush them off, but, man, you know, you just don't know. You know, those people that brushed off Rat, Motley Crue, many of those bands that were, you know, up and coming at one time, you know, at one time they wished that they wouldn't have brushed them off, because then they became big, and, you know, now everybody wants a piece of them, and, you know, we're one of those bands. You know, we want to be in the national spotlight someday, and you know, more than we are now, but, you know, we need people to come and see us. Whether we're playing our own show or opening up for a national act, get there early and see the opening band, because you don't know what you're missing.
Right. Well, I think, you know, one of the most important things is believing in yourself. You know, what if you continue to believe in yourself and believe in your heart that, you know, in your dreams, you know, follow your dreams. Don't let anybody discourage you. I never thought in a million years that I would be able to sit and talk with people like yourself that are amazing artists, and here I am doing it. You know that old expression, you know, you are what you eat. Well, you know, you are what you think too. And you know, as long as you keep a positive attitude about the, you know, about being on that main stage, you know, I truly believe, not only do I believe by faith, I just believe because of what I've seen, that, man, you've guys got what it takes. And that's the bottom line, man. You know, Rock Hollywood is a great band. I would suggest and recommend them to anybody.
Yeah, you know, like I said, we played shows even recently with LA Guns, and it's really disheartening when I'm up there. I'm paying attention to what's going on out in the crowd. I'm in my own little world, but I'm looking around and seeing what's going on and seeing who's paying attention, and it's really, to me, disheartening and disrespectful when you see somebody that, you know, they're mainly there for the main band, and, you know, some of these people are friends on my friends list on Facebook, and you know, they don't seem to give a crap about us. They, like, you know, there's like, you know, they're walking in and out and socializing, and then, you know, when the main band comes on, they're like right in the front of the stage, and I pay attention to that. I'm like, you know, what's wrong with us? You know, whatever. I'm not gonna go into that whole thing, but you know, I just think some of these opening and local bands deserve more respect, and, you know, we're working hard. You know, it's not, you know, we're not just whining about, like, what we don't like. It's just, we put a lot of work into this. You know, we put a lot of time into it, and, you know, a lot of heart and passion into it. I mean, this is not a hobby for me. This is what I do, and so. Yeah, it affects me personally sometimes, and I, you know, like I said, LA Guns, all these bands at one time were a local band, and there's people that didn't give a crap about them either until they did something, and, you know, once you do something, everybody wants a piece of you, so, you know, go ahead and jump on board now, because, you know, hopefully someday it'll pay off, and then we know who our true fans are, and we really appreciate those fans that come out, you know, almost every one of our shows. There's some people that do that, you know, no matter where we play, and I really have a lot of respect and love for those people.
Well, folks, there it is, the interview with Darren Short, Rock Hollywood. I am Jim McDonough, your host. Thanks, everyone, again so much for tuning in. Peace.